the purpose of the Quran in terms of its summary purpose, so the jumlah, altogether. And he said the first thing was it was da'wat al-khalq ila ibadat al-haq wa dukhuli fi dinihi. So it's an invitation to creation to enter into the religion with God and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said that there's bawa'ith that go with that. So there's going to be incentives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala incentivizes it. So now if you get into what's called, what he calls the tafsil, right? He gives the seven here meanings that the purposes of the Quran. So the first one is ilm al-rububiyyah, which is to teach you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fundamental and primary purpose of the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, right? I mean, Allah begins in the name of Allah. If you take the Shafi'i position, if you take the Maliki, it's Alhamdulillah. The Quran begins with Alhamdulillah. But it begins with Allah. It ends with Nas. So the last word in the Quran is Nas. So it begins with Allah, it ends with Nas, and between the two is the message of Allah to Nas. So this is the book of Allah that is sent to humanity. And so the ilm al-rububiyyah is to know Rabbul Alameen, and that's why he begins Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It begins with rububiyyah, like who's your Lord? You're lorded over. You are marbub. You're makhluq, you know, and your very createdness should intellectually demand a recognition that there's a creator. This idea that this kind of modern quantum view that things just popped into existence, it's a little hard to swallow for people that just think even superficially about because we know that this wasn't here forever. We know this. Even our material sciences had indicated that. And even the most primitive peoples have always understood that. And not because they were primitive, but because they were human, right? So no matter how intellectual you get, no matter how intelligent you get, that's not the reason you're denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because your fitrah has been so distorted by civilization and by a kind of abstraction in your mind. And this is why the vast majority of human beings have believed in some force outside of themselves, whether it was animistic or polytheistic. They believed that there was something outside of themselves, whereas modern man is unique in this way. Modern human beings are very strange. So that's ilm al-rububiyyah. The second one is nubuwwah. So the Quran comes to tell us about prophecy. And now one of the most amazing things about prophecy is if you study philosophy, every philosopher will negate the philosophy of their teachers or the ones that went before them. They'll just differ with them. So, and beginning with Socrates and Plato, and then Plato and Aristotle, I mean, beginning in the beginning, it's very interesting. Or the pre-Socratics, who somebody said everything's fire, and then somebody said everything's water, somebody said everything's fire. And they're all differing. The prophets, if you study the prophets, they don't differ. And they come over a period of like 1,000 years, and yet they're all saying the same thing, that there's a God, here's what he wants you to do, and then you're going to be judged. You're going to be raised up and you're going to be judged, and you have a soul. They're consistent in that. Where they differ is in the sharia, in the details of the law because of the times and places. That's where they differ. But they don't differ in what are called the thawabit. You know, there's thawabit and mutaghayyarat. There's, you know, the sharia it differs, but the aqidah is the same. So the aqidah remains the same, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that all of the prophets are brothers from different mothers. So the mothers are the sharia, but the father is the aqidah. So it's the same father, just but the mother is different. So the aqidah is the same. That's the father, but the mother is the sharia. And so he said, we're all brothers, but illat, banu illat, which means we have different mothers. So the sharia is different, but our father is the same. It's the haqiqa. So and then the next one is the ma'ad, which is resurrection. So ma'ad means the place you're going back to, right? Eid in Arabic is from ada ya'udu, right? So ma'ad is the place you go back to. So inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We were already there and we have this recollection. You know, Plato called it the recollection, you know, this memory of a previous life. You know, we all have this embedded somewhere in our souls, and it comes up periodically through life, where we kind of have these strange moments of things like deja vu and other things where, you know, I recognize something. And then you have al-ahkam, which are the rulings, the sharia itself. So divinities, prophecies, resurrection, or eschatology, you know, what happens after life, and then ahkam. And then the ahkam relate to, we'll get into that, what they relate. And then finally, al-wa'ad, al-wa'id, and al-qasas. So al-wa'ad is the promise in Arabic. So, إِذَا أَعِيدُكَ شَيْئًا هَذَا wa'ad. You know, so a wa'ad is a promise to do something. A wa'id is a threat, you know, and it's, you know, it's the same as one of these Arabic things where they have the same root, but they mean very different things. So, you know, u'iduka, like, you know, wayhaka, Yusuf, like if I make a threat like that, and then you have to, okay. Now, the nice thing about the Arab tradition, which is in our understanding of aqidah, is that Allah can break his threat, and it doesn't diminish him in his lordship. So if Allah says, I'm going to punish you, and then on Yom Qiyamah he says, I forgive you, that is actually acceptable in aqidah, whereas he won't break his promise. So the promise will be fulfilled if he promises us, but the threat, that's up to him. فَعَلُوا لِمَا يُرِيد, right? And so, and then you have al-qasas, which are the stories. Now, one of the most extraordinary things about this division is all of them are in the Fatiha.